This is Scott, and you are listening to Fine Tune You with Helen, your home for holistically balanced living. Find us at www.finetuneyou.com and enjoy helpful, inspiring, and amusing information. Besides practicing holistic self-development disciplines for over 40 years, additional formal studies have deepened her knowledge and qualifications. Helen is an intuitive counselor, transformational coach, and guided imagery expert. As a graduate of the American Institute of Holistic Theology, Helen has her master's degree in metaphysics and is working toward her doctorate in metaphysics and holistic ministries.
Good afternoon, everyone. Sorry we're a couple of minutes late. We had a little glitch there. Before I do anything else, I really would like to thank all of you who expressed your concern and your prayers and your good thoughts for our son Joshua, who was sick last week. He's doing much better. Now I'd like to welcome our new time listeners, and I hope you like what you hear and benefit, and I hope you feel moved to share some of your thoughts or insights. And to those people that are listening to our reruns on Monday evenings, please consider tuning into our show live Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And to all of you who will be listening later in the archives, I'd like to welcome you. And you should consider joining us live on Sunday evenings, too. And last but definitely not least, welcome to all our regular listeners. We welcome all of you with light and love. I want to wish each of you a very happy Sunday, and I hope your evening is as beautiful as ours is here in Honolulu. We're enjoying a balmy afternoon. It's good to be here and connect with all of you. I'm your host, Helen Smalley Bauer, and I like to say guide. Just holding the sacred space for those of us who like to come together. So what is Fine Tune You? Well, first and foremost, Fine Tune You is nothing without those of you wonderfully grounded people who hold the sacred space of empowerment while we're on the air. Also, we treasure our wonderful listener participants and the amazing guest scheduled to appear on this program. Which reminds me, please put on your calendar May 9th. We're going to be privileged to have as our special guest Mick Quinn, author of The Uncommon Path. The Uncommon Path helps people discover their true success and keys to authentic joy. So please be sure and put that on your calendar. I can't thank all of you enough for making Fine Tune You the success it has become and the amazing growth you've created, supporting all of us in our journey, giving us permission to share, and giving us a place to come and connect, to reflect and learn, to teach, and then continue our journey into our everyday life. I am so grateful. For those who have been coming with us on this marvelous journey, sometimes the road has been a little bumpy. And sometimes there's been some interference on the path. But nevertheless, we all continue making this marvelous journey together. Also, Fine Tune You is a live internet radio program. I want to emphasize live, and I want to emphasize internet because we know we have people listening from all over the world. And it's live because, well, it's happening right now in this wonderful moment, in this present time, in this gift to all of us. And it's interactive. So what does that mean? We love interaction here. You can interact via email. You can ask questions or give us comments or feedback. Or you can just hold the sacred space and listen. Some people do just like to listen. And there are those of you who may be listening from work, or you may be working out. I so love keeping in contact with everyone. So if you have questions, and I've been getting some great email questions, by the way. We're going to address some of those later today in the program. The other way you can contact us is you can call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now back to what is Fine Tune You. Fine Tune You is talk radio for your mind, body, and spirit, where we pursue enlightenment by fine-tuning our mind, our body, and our spirit to be mindful of how we live our lives. Through your emails, we're making note of the fine-tuning happening around the world, individually and collectively, of people who have just started fine-tuning, those who are fine-tuning steadily, and those feeling and reflecting their fine-tuning in their own lives. We're all in various stages of growth. Our focus really is about the process, the path of fine-tuning, of being spirit-led, of increasing alignment to our soul, of living for our life's purpose, of living for our soul's purpose. I hope you also use Fine Tune You as a resource, a connecting point, a sharing point from all our collective divine minds. We examine the spiritual and we challenge ourselves. You know, I mentioned in an earlier show how when I was younger, holistic living was considered unconventional alternative thinking, lifestyles, and medicines. It certainly was not given much credence in mainstream society. Holistic living was definitely not mainstream. You know, but today it's thrilling to see how holistic living offers such progressive thinking, such promising lifestyles, and progressively promising medical practices. Today the focus isn't so much on religion as it's on spirituality. Times are changing. Times have actually changed. There's a dissolving of rigidness happening collectively within our institutions, within our systems, and also individually. So when we come together each week to share what's going on in our lives individually, we also look at how it fits into all our lives collectively. It is a wonderful connecting and you know, I feel so honored to be here. If you would like to call in with a question or comment or share your personal growth in your journey, our number is 888-815-9756. Or again, you can email me at helen@finetuneyou.com. And you can just listen. I would like to let everyone know a couple of ways that during the week you can stay in contact and connected. We're on Facebook. We're at Fine Tune You, or you could enter my name, Helen Smalley Bauer. Also, you can visit our website at finetuneyou.com. And you could sign up for our newsletter. I don't send these out every day. They go out about once every week or two. I like to send out reflections, inspirational thoughts, oh, some cute or sweet pictures, the occasional cartoon, and usually a quote. It's a very short newsletter. It's just intended to be a moment to lift your spirit or let you go, aww. And finally, again, during the week, you can contact me at helen@finetuneyou.com. Now this week, we're talking about our spirituality, our enlightenment, our serenity. For purposes of this show, we're going to call it spirituality. And you know, it's really interesting. Earlier today, I had occasion to watch a show on television, a movie. It was called Patron Saint of Liars. It was made in 1998. And it was so interesting because it really showed an awakening. I highly recommend the movie. It was really a wonderful spiritual awakening on this show. I can tell you the only way I know I'm in my spirit is when I'm filled with peace. That peace that passes all understanding. That elusive state of being that sometimes is so easy to maintain and other times so difficult to maintain or maybe even impossible to maintain. At least for me, that's true. Maybe along the way, something important will ring true to you and you'll jump in and share your experiences. Talking about my spiritual enlightenment is a very personal subject for me. As I'm sure it is for you. I'm sorry, I had something that came up there. As those of you know who follow this program, I'm legally blind. And I knew from the time I was very young I would be blind. Some people called that precognition. Others called it a self-fulfilling prophecy. The reality is, I was blind long before I lost my vision. I grew up a child of privilege and a child of abuse. I was adored and tortured. Physically, I could climb anything, and I was really strong. Emotionally, I was severely crippled. To look at me, you would have thought I had it all. In a way, I guess I did. I had a loving, giving family and a brother who molested, raped, emotionally taunted, and abused me. Not exactly the all we all want. I survived in one world, and I pretended in the other. My childlike spirit suffered the confusion, the damage, and terror of my brother's abuse. In social settings, I functioned like a normal child. Though if you go through the photos, there are a lot of pictures where I wasn't a smiling child. Inwardly, I wanted to curl up into a ball and disappear. And emotionally and spiritually, I did. In the process, my spirit got buried under mountains of rubble. Pain and longing influenced the heartbreaking struggles between my tortured mind and my spirit. But my spirit, as all of our spirits do, waited, striving to let me know that I was safe, that I was whole. My biggest problem? I couldn't hear my spirit telling me repeatedly, "I'm here. You're not broken. You're whole." Let me give you an example. You'll probably say, "How could I be so blind?" Well, we all know I'm blind. This example just proves how blind, not only physically, but how blind I was emotionally. Not only were the actions of my abuser devastating, but his voice pounded loudly and persistently in my head, drowning out every other voice. He repeatedly told me I was just trash and no one would ever want me. When I reached puberty and learned a little about sexuality, I realized that because of what had happened to me, I wasn't a virgin. My abuser had obviously stolen my virginity. I was devastated and I was so ashamed. I can't begin to tell you how realizing I could never offer a husband an untouched body affected me. I felt so worthless, so dirty, so totally helpless. But I was a teenager, and as most teenagers, I fell in love. And when I was 16, I had an occasion when I had sex with my boyfriend. And my body responded as if I was a virgin, not the trash my abuser had told me I was. My spirit gave me what appeared to be a virginal body. But did I hear my spirit? Uh-uh. I was so upset with myself that I'd had sex with my boyfriend. It was bad enough I'd been abused, I just saw my actions as confirming everything horrible and shameful my abuser had told me I was. So that high school relationship didn't work out. But did my spirit give up? No. We all know our spirit never, ever, ever gives up. It just doesn't work that way. Several years later, when I married my first husband, you'll never believe it, and I know I didn't, but the first time we had sex, again, my body responded as if I was a virgin. There I was feeling dirty, ashamed, and unworthy. But the universe and my spirit were shouting desperately, trying to get me to realize, you're whole, you're valuable, you have worth. At that time in my life, I couldn't have heard the loudest bullhorn blasting that message. Years passed, and areas of my life included holistic choices, kind of like my spirit was saying, let me out, let me out. You know, I used my guided imagery tapes and I made nutritional changes. But my holistic living consisted mostly of physical changes in the way I lived. My grief and the need to escape my tormented thoughts, they just intensified. As the memories of my years of abuse held my spirit prisoner, the strains within my dysfunctional relationships collided. It was March 10th, 1975. My life was a total mess. I had three children. I was married to a full-blown alcoholic, who at the time I didn't even realize was an alcoholic because he drank in secret, and I wasn't really that conscious of how alcohol smelled. And he walked out on me. Now, he didn't just walk out on me. He was in the hospital, and he walked out on me. You'd think I would have been relieved. But I was still adjusting to losing most of the vision in my second eye. I had a quasi-relationship going on with my daughter's father. I was terrified of being with someone, and I was terrified of being alone. Here I was in Hawaii, trying to figure out how the children and I were going to survive if my husband didn't come home. Going home to my parents wasn't an option. They lived in the country, so I would have been quite trapped since I couldn't drive. Plus, my wonderful abuser tormentor lived near, and he let me know. In fact, he dared me to try to return. He let me know he was just waiting for my return. Plus, even if I wasn't facing those other issues, I just plain didn't want to leave Hawaii. It was my home. But I still didn't know what to do. So I called my husband's doctor. I wanted to understand what was going on. Now, this was before HIPAA. He suggested I go to Al-Anon. And I asked him, are you telling me my husband's an alcoholic? And he said, well, I can't tell you if he's an alcoholic, but I can suggest you go to Al-Anon. I'm like, okay. And he said, I really suggest you should go to Al-Anon. I think you would benefit. It was at that moment that so many pieces concerning my marriage started to fall into place. That very night, I went to an Al-Anon meeting. I was terrified. But what was new about that? I was always terrified. Only this was the first time I was admitting that I was terrified. And admitting it was such a relief. I went home after the meeting. Got the kids to bed, went to bed myself, and started reading the One Day at a Time Al-Anon book. Now, at this point, I really would like to quote what that reading was for March 10th. I'm quoting, why did I come to Al-Anon? Most of us come because we're desperate, lonely, bewildered about the alcoholic's behavior. The important thing to consider is this. Am I desperate enough to try the 12 steps, even if I don't believe anything is wrong with me? I came wanting to change my spouse, and the first thing I was told is that the only person I can possibly change is myself. If I really want a new way of life, I will first look deep within myself and admit my own shortcomings. And then the today's reminder was, it is not the alcoholic who is my responsibility. My job is to do something about my own faults, my own part in the mess my life has become. Can I admit that my own irrational behavior helped to create the mess? I am sure I will realize it in time with the help of Al-Anon. I pray for humility to accept the fact that I need help and for the firmness of purpose to take action to get it. I ask for the aid of my higher power in striving for a better way of life. You know, as I read those words, it happened. I stopped fighting. I released my fear, and my spirit appeared. The room was filled with a dazzling white light, and I was filled with such an overwhelming peace. I'd never experienced anything like this in my life. In fact, it was much more common for me to feel a coldness wash over me every time I tried to connect to my spirit. But not on this day. Not on March 10th, 1975. This night, I was filled with instant peace. A peace I had never known existed. I was home. Now, I gotta tell you, nothing outwardly had changed. Yet, everything had changed. All my fear was gone. I didn't have a clue how the children and I would manage. But I just knew that we would be all right. 5 days later, my husband came home. A month later, he stopped drinking. So had I found the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? Was life wonderful from March 10th, 1975 on? Well, in every way it was different. But did I never struggle again? No. No way. Prior to that March 10th experience, I had always believed that once you connected to your spirit, became serene, enlightened, there would be no more battles. But I soon realized I was mistaken. That instant solution thinking I had, that instant quitting thinking, which is so prevalent in the Western Hemisphere, we seem to be known for it. Well, when it came to problems beyond my grasp, like spiritual matters, I had a very simplistic way of thinking. I thought it would be complete, finished, done. But I learned very quickly, I couldn't put my spirituality in a tiny box and set it on the shelf and pull it down when I wanted. Nor did I really want to do that. I liked that feeling of peace. I just couldn't understand how this elusive spirituality worked. I finally let go of the notion of being able to maintain my spirituality without further struggles or challenges. And you know what happened? It was the darndest thing. When I let go of the illusion of permanent spirituality, when I stopped trying to grab that brass ring called spirituality and put it into that neat little box, when I accepted that having spirituality in my life was a journey, much like learning to walk. After all, you know, our physical life exists with naturally recurring ups and downs. Why wouldn't our spiritual life exist with naturally recurring ups and downs? I realized I couldn't go to the mountaintops without walking through the valley. I also learned that the more I practiced the principles of spirituality, but let go of the results and lived my life in the present with no expectations, it was then I experienced spirituality in all its glory. Let's take a short commercial break and we'll be back in just a minute.
O's Acupuncture is where modern technology is blended with Eastern-style wellness. O's approach is to combine the old with the latest scientific technology. He transforms various ancient texts then uses Hippocrates' principles to combine the best of Eastern and Western healing techniques. O provides you with the latest of modern alternatives, along with the most traditional of Eastern healing techniques. It's time to start taking care of your mind, body, and spirit. Achieve balanced health. Outlive your friends. Defy time. Change your destiny. O's, located at 8 Immortal Center, 1188 Bishop Street, Suite 2409, in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. Call 548-7711 to schedule your evaluation. Make an appointment today. Call 548-7711.
Welcome back. Please call and tell us about your discovery, your walk, or your special moment of peace that exceeds all understanding. Or share the growth you've experienced in your journey. Remember, our number is 888-815-9756. And if you don't want to talk live on the phone, you can email me at Helen@findtoonyou.com. You can also just listen and hold the sacred space for us. Okay, I said we would get to some of the questions we received through the email. This one is from Christy in Miami. She wants to know, how do I know if I'm on the right path? And then we have a related question from Don in Boston, and he asks, why does it seem that I make this transition to spirituality in my life? When I make this transition to spirituality in my life, it becomes more difficult. Does that mean I'm on the wrong path? I love those questions. They're right at the heart of what we want to discuss today. I'd like to start with Don's concern of why does it seem that as I make this transition to spirituality in my life, it gets more difficult, and does that mean I'm on the wrong path? No, you're not on the wrong path. Absolutely not. You know, every single one of us comes into this world with a longing to connect to our spirit. And if we don't have a terribly traumatic event happen to us, it's natural that as we grow, we become more conscious, more aware, more awake, because that's part of our fundamental nature. In other words, our spirit tugs at us, giving us a yearning for something more. It gives us glimpses of our awareness of our divine characteristics. We get glimpses that we are that divine spark. We get glimpses that create a longing for more because, oh my gosh, we got some, we want more. Those glimpses urge us onto the road toward connecting with our spirit. And there doesn't have to be, but a lot of times there will be challenges and difficulties, and sometimes tragedies along the way. Or memories of old wounds popping up, much like I faced in my journey to awaken with my spirit. When we choose to walk this spiritual path, we discover a new kind of connection, a new kind of love. We discover an understanding like we never experienced understanding before. We become filled with peace, and we have insight where we were pretty blind before. We learn about different tools and then we start applying those tools. Tools we never knew existed. We join with people that are walking the same path. It's that coming home. And out of these new discoveries, what happens? We're shifting, we're changing. Possibly more dramatically than ever before in our lives. At some point, if we experience wounding, our wounding has to emerge. Whatever the circumstance or event that connects us to our spirit in the first place, boom, it comes right back. So here we are, shifting and changing and developing into our true selves. And you know, in the process, we meet people who think the same way. They weren't in our lives before, but all of a sudden they appear. Whoa. Universe is pretty good there. And because of all these changes, well, let me back up for just a second and equate this time, this moment in our journey with an onion. You know how we peel onions? We remove the outer damaged layers, and as we do, we expose the sweeter center of the onion. Well, our spiritual journey is much like peeling an onion. We peel off the outer damaged layers and expose new layers that were previously hidden. And they tell us who we really are. You know, your true self, your reflection of your soul. And you're shifting and changing. Usually we're shifting behaviors and beliefs, and they can be pretty traumatic. We become less rigid. And the reason we become less rigid, a lot of people don't understand this, is that the universe is a universe of love and forgiveness and understanding. So we become less rigid, more like a willow tree than an oak. Now the willow tree will go with the wind, but if a strong enough wind comes along, the mighty oak is very strong, but it comes crashing down. We become less defensive. And because of that, we find ourselves hanging around with different people. We find ourselves liking different things than we used to like. And the people that we've known all our lives, somehow they don't seem to be around as much. They seem to disappear. They definitely move emotionally away from us. And all of a sudden, their interest and our interest, it's like we're speaking Greek and Russian. I don't know, maybe they worked well together. I don't know. But two languages that don't hear each other. We seem to be going in different directions, and we definitely lose our shared goals. Yes, that's what happens. And you know, if they were friends, yes, it hurts. It seems that we're leaving people behind, and that creates a sense of loss, a void. We've lost their voice. It's so familiar. We've lost their touch. We've lost that face-to-face contact we're used to. Yes, our journey is taking us on a different path. But the truth I want you to know is that we are and always will be connected spiritually to everyone in our lives, from our past, in our present, and those we meet in the future. We are always one spiritually. Sometimes this loss of our old friends, though, feels overwhelming. And one of the things that can help in that kind of situation is to use some of the spiritual tools available. The one I like best is meditation. Meditation is such a good choice because when we're in the meditative state, it allows us to experience the lost connection on a spiritual level. That just now, in this moment, in this life, we have gone as far as we were meant to go together. We understand that this lost relationship achieved what it was meant to achieve. Because on a spiritual level, there are no mistakes. I want to repeat that. There are no mistakes. Oh, in our earthly shell, we can have mistaken behaviors or misinterpretations. But in the spiritual side of life, when these kind of things happen, it's natural. It's the universe creating on a specific plane that this other place is no longer needed or necessary. But again, love always remains. The connection spiritually always remains. But it's not always in the way people assume it should be. So let's look at what Christy asked now. How do I know I'm on the right path? I so like that question. I always like to ask myself, am I on the right path? During our daily grind, the division between our mind and thoughts is rarely thought about or discussed. This treating our thoughts as if they don't affect our lives is the primary reason for the majority of our problems. Often we don't acknowledge this division, as our mind and thoughts seem to be one. And strangely enough, they are one, like it or not. But that separation or lack thereof is the essence of our being. This separation is what keeps the agnostic separated from spirituality, conceivably depriving our whole society from growing a holistic foundation. I think it's good that we check ourselves. We need to check our journey. I always say we can tell by the subtle energy we carry, you know, our harmony, our vibration, our tone, and the kind of energy we transmit has to do with how consistent we are with our emotional clearing. The more we clear, in other words, the less baggage you carry, the more we're not going to delude ourselves. So, Christy, you know you're asking, how do I know I'm on the right path? Check yourself. Check your harmony. Check your vibration. Check your tone. Check the energy. And have you been doing your clearing lately? Are you making sure you're not carrying baggage? We have to remember, our ego mind, it loves to create deception. The ego mind tricks us into thinking we're doing something for the right reason. When we're new to our spiritual journey, we can find ourselves still dwelling on our frustrations and our worries and our hurts. One of the ways we can be successful on our journey is to ask ourselves if, are we learning how to deal with these intruders? I consider frustrations, worries, and hurts intruders. Now, I'd like to give you an example of a way you could think about how to deal with these frustrations, worries, and hurts. They're so non-productive. They're non-productive thinking. I like to think of those thoughts as gasoline. What would happen if we sat around inhaling those gasoline fumes? Now, I'm equating our frustrations, worries, and hurts to the fumes. You can be sure nothing productive would happen if we inhaled those fumes, and if we were lucky to survive, maybe we would at least have a lot of stupidity develop from sniffing those fumes, because it kills brain cells. But what would happen if we put that gasoline to proper use, you know, put it in the tank where it belongs? When used properly, gasoline becomes quite powerful. And that power can take us where we want to go. That same thing is so true of our frustrations and worries and when we think we're hurt. Now, just to throw in a side thought, I know some of you are thinking, we know we're supposed to be running around with an attitude of gratitude. I know, unfair blow. So now on top of feeling frustrated and worried and hurt, now we're ashamed that we're supposed to be walking in our spirit and we're supposed to be filled with an attitude of gratitude. What a horrible catch-22 situation. Or is it? Yes, we're in the throes of negative thinking. And yes, it's a pretty difficult spot to be in, possibly even a depressed spot. But it doesn't have to be. Really, you ask? You know, we have another option. We can take all those frustrations and hurts and if we're worried. Of course, you know, I always go back to the old one. If you're going to worry, why pray? And if you're going to pray, why worry? So right there we got that one. But anyway, we can take all those frustrations and hurts and pay attention. I really want you to pay attention to them. Focus on everything. We're really very blessed with these negative thoughts and feelings. We're really blessed they've reared their ugly heads. Because now we have the opportunity to stop and listen. We can listen for those irresponsible questions, those pointless questions that we have when we have those hurts and frustrations. You know, the ones, why me and not you? How come I have to tolerate this? Those kind of questions. When we listen past those questions, move past those ego mind questions, that's when we have the opportunity to recognize the anger and shame that we've hidden just under that irresponsible feeling. Okay. I'm going to admit there's anger and shame. Okay, I know. There's anger and shame. Okay, what would happen if we became willing to look a little deeper under the anger and shame? Anyone want to venture a guess? I'll tell you, if we look under the anger and shame, we will always find fear lurking. Yep, fear. I dare you. Stop. Slow down. Listen. I promise if you do, you will find the fear. But we need to remember that fear, though often mistaken, because it's almost always ego mind based, it still always is trying to protect us. I want to give you an acronym for fear that may help you. False evidence appearing real. Try to remember that. If you can get down to that level, realize this is false evidence appearing real. Okay, what do we do now? Now we're staring fear in the face. What do you want me to do with it? We take a deep breath. Or maybe two or three. And we ask our fear, what are you trying to protect me from? What is the danger you see? And I promise you, if you remain very still, if you sit very quietly, and if you listen very quietly, not trying to force it, but just quietly, if you listen for an answer, and sometimes let me give you another way you could do it. It's good to sit across from an empty chair and ask the questions to the empty chair. Then move to the empty chair and answer yourself. You'd be surprised. But you know what happens when you face these questions of your fear? You always receive answers. Always. I guarantee it. But I want to offer a caution here. You know, once we confront the fears we've carried for so long, what's going to happen? We're left with a void. Okay, we've got a void here. We've lost our friends. Our life has changed. Now I've got this emotional void. Hello? Those frustrations and fear and hurts, they take up a lot of space, trust me. That negative energy has felt so familiar. It's maybe not healthy, but I'll tell you, it's familiar. And it feels safe, comfortable. Like those old shoes you've had for a long time that are really comfortable to slip on. You don't want to put on those new shoes. They're just a wee bit tight and they pinch your feet and you're glad to get out of them. It's kind of where you are right now. You've got this void. So we have to be very aware of this void. This void that our healing has created. And we must care for our new awareness. Believe me, for a while it's going to feel so strange. And so weird. And if we don't stay alert and aware before we know it, we could fall right back into the same old unhealthy patterns of thinking and shift right out of our spiritual peace. Now, I know all this can be quite scary. It's kind of like going to a foreign country, but you don't know your way around and you don't speak the language. When we shift to this fear of loss, of the unfamiliar, we need reassurance. We really do. And we may need it for quite a while because that void may be pretty darn big. We need the reassurance of an actual human being. Someone like a good mentor, a teacher, a guide. If it's really serious, possibly a therapist. Whatever. Possibly a good friend, but make use of your friends only if they're the kind of friends who are gently honest. You don't want a friend who's going to let you wallow in your pity. But allow these people to reassure you that they believe in you and that they'll be there to help you shift your thinking. And if you don't have anyone, remember you can always call or email me. It's so important that you look at your reactions. You know, any reaction, whether positive or negative, in a good way or a bad way, any reaction is some form of projection. Whether it's coming together or pulling apart from someone, there's always some form of projection. So what happens when you move the projection? You shift into perception. I associate projection and perception very close to reaction and response. You know, when you get a medicine from the doctor and you have a reaction to it, we usually end up in the emergency room and we aren't doing real good. But if we get a medicine from the doctor and we respond to it, we become healthy. As we shift from our worldly point of view and state of mind to spiritual perception, our awareness and understanding of the universe shifts too. We discover that there aren't two universes, not one we live in now and learn from and then another that we go to when we die. Nope. Not like that. There's just one universe. It's the same yesterday, it's the same today, it's going to be the same tomorrow. It's the same now, and it'll be the same forever. So as we shift to spiritual perception, our life really does shift. This is because the outside world that we accepted as real, we realize is actually just a projection of what we agreed in our mind to accept as true. That's why when we connect to our spirit is the one who guides us as to what to accept. And it'll always be a within kind of feeling, a peaceful kind of feeling. It really is easy, and yet it's so hard. There's nothing for us to do but to shift our projections to perceptions, and it sounds so easy. You know, but we've spent years projecting. We've spent years living in our ego mind. So especially at the beginning, we really need to check ourselves that we are saying that what we're saying is spirit-directed, not driven from our ego mind. This is the crux of our journey and the heart of our spiritual growth. We live in a spirit-driven universe, so as we replace our projection thinking and shift to perception thinking, we become an expression of love, one who desires to understand and return to that true awareness of one. When we're healthy, we shift into that place where we invite fear to speak. We're not afraid of it anymore. We welcome the conversation. We no longer hide. We look fear right in the face. We listen to it. We hear what it is threatening us with. And then we take a deep breath and say, I don't need you anymore. I'm willing to risk changing. And we push fear aside. If you feel blocked, make sure you're not seeing through your ego mind. Chances are you are. Because your ego mind can't see what could be. That requires your spirit. Take time to do a meditative check. I know I keep going back to meditation like a broken record. I'm not talking about you need to spend hours. I'm talking about after you've gotten into the habit and the routine of meditating, you can do a meditative check pretty quick. Shift to that meditative state. Align with your soul, your spirit. Make use of your gifts. Remember, you are a work in progress. And even more importantly, please remember, none of us are in this alone. Many of the important times in our lives are punctuated with positive change, and yet we find ourselves sabotaging ourselves. Stop! Please recognize this is simply your response to fear. Connect with your support person, or if you have a group, connect with your group. But defeat fear. Now, besides meditation, one of my favorite tools I use to stay aligned is I like to ask, What value am I making or creating in my life? Now, this is a question as old as the ages. Because remember, we're dealing with principles that have always existed. I'm not telling you anything new. It's a matter of tapping into and applying the laws of the universe. And what a wonderful question the universe has given us. It's possibly the only question we ever need. And for me, a question I hope I never stop asking and striving to answer. For me, and I hope you consider making this question a relevant part of your life. The question I ask is this: what value am I making or creating in my life? I apply it as a whole, and I ask how to apply it to specific areas of my life. In other words, what meaning or value am I creating in my life as a parent, as a spouse, as a friend, and as an employee? A lot of times we leave our spiritual life out of our work. Am I really connected spiritually at work? How can I be a better employee? And sometimes when I notice I'm stressed, I take that same question and I apply it to whatever the particular event or situation or time calls for. In other words, what value am I making or creating in my life in the midst of this disaster or loss or even success? Probably the most important use for me of this question is the daily practice aspect. What value am I making or creating in my life today? I found that when I apply this question generously in my life, I live in the present and I stay connected to my higher power, my spirituality, enlightenment, and serenity. And one more way I use that question is at the end of the day. I ask, what value did I make or create in my life today that benefited others? And then I break it down to my role as a parent, a spouse, a friend, an employee. I check where I walked in my spirit and where I shifted to my ego mind. This is when I journal. It helps me sort out the reality of my actions. It inspires me to open myself to the universe and my spirit with less hesitancy and to just trust and to know. Other excellent questions to consider asking yourself are, how can I be of service today? Who needs my prayers or assistance? What is my divine purpose? What fantasies or obstacles or resistance are blocking my spiritual journey? Remember, our strength is in knowing when and how to ask for help and to open ourselves, though we need help, to the universe so that we know whom we should ask. Remember, when you release your fear, your spirit soars. When you live in your spirit, you live in that place of unconditional love. Staying isolated in times of need is not strength. It takes more courage to reach out and allow others in than it does to hide behind our walls of denial. I don't know anyone that couldn't use some "I believe in you" in the best of times, and we all could use that encouragement when we're struggling. And in that vein, I would like to offer one more suggestion. Be liberal in offering "I believe in you" to others. You never know the time your words of encouragement will shift someone else. And I'd like to come back to an analogy of how patient our spirit is. My spirit was always with me, waiting patiently, no matter how much I blocked it out. And I know your spirit is always with you, no matter how much you block it out. Thinking about our spirit reminds me of when I was young and planting daffodils in the fall. They always looked so dry and dead and flaky with stringy roots. I'd bury them in the cold ground in the fall, much like I buried my spirit, and you may have buried yours. But those bulbs would wait patiently, sitting in the dark. And the bulbs, they weren't dead, and my spirit wasn't dead, and your spirit isn't dead either. Our spirits just sit around waiting patiently, in the dark and cold where we've stuck them, just like those daffodil bulbs, through the winter of our sorrows. Then when we open the lid on our hidden pains and our spirits push up, way up, through the cold, dark shell we built, just like the daffodil bulbs push through the earth and grow into the light, allowing life fresh and beautifully reborn. And we finally realize that the cold and dark don't have to be forever, and that no matter how we feel, we can shift, release the darkness, and allow our spirits to carry us. And we realize that life has and continues to teach us all we need to know on a daily basis. So I would like to leave you with how blessed we are when a teacher who can teach us about our spirit enters our lives. And I promise you, it will always be the teacher we need, whether we're ready to accept the lessons or not. Joshua, my precious Joshua, was and is my spiritual teacher. When Joshua Isaac became part of my life, he was so helpless and trusting. He changed my life. He changed how I saw things. He turned my way of looking at and experiencing the world upside down. He didn't judge. He didn't criticize. He loved and he accepted loving. He let me hold him and he held me. And when he becomes ill, you know, critically ill, he just relaxes into the illness, trusting that those taking care of him will do their job, trusting he is one with the universe. And so far, well, he is still here teaching me. May each of you be blessed with as wonderful a teacher in your lives. And I want to thank all of our listeners for being a part of Fine Tune You and holding the sacred space for us. It's always great to connect with all of you. It's such a joy. And a gentle reminder again to put May 9th on your calendar, when we will be privileged to have as our special guest Mick Quinn, author of The Uncommon Path. The Uncommon Path helps people discover their true success and keys to authentic joy. We look forward to you joining us next week, and we will continue to fine-tune you.